Praise the Lord.
Children can go to
children's church. All right, I'm going to jump right in. It's 11:30 already. Good spending time with Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
Amen. I'm going to continue my series on walking the walk of faith, part 3, enduring to the end. Remember, we started off part 1 talking about having confidence in God, knowing that He will complete the work that He started in you. Amen?
Amen.
And last time, we talked about being a servant and what kind of an offering that we are to Him. What are we presenting to God? Are we fit for service? And He makes us fit for service. Amen? And when He does, we are to serve. We are to do what Jesus did. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so also I send you." And what did He do? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor."
Amen.
That's all of our job. To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Hallelujah. Recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So part 3 is enduring to the end. Walking the walk of faith means enduring till the end, suffering and persecution. How many like the sound of that? How many say amen? Sign me up. Right? No one likes the sound of that. But when we're walking the walk of faith, it means that we accept it as a fact. And we keep on walking. Amen? No quitting. No defeat. No turning back. Walking the walk. What do I mean by that? Really, truly living for Jesus Christ. Being a genuine Christian. Being a follower of Christ. What does a follower of Christ do? Follows Christ. Amen? Not just in name only. Not nominal Christians. In name only, we are to live it. We are to walk the walk of faith. Amen? It's hard in this world, isn't it? Yeah, if we're honest, we'll say it's hard. It's hard in this world. Always has been. Why? Because the world hates Jesus. They hate Him. Matthew 10:22, Jesus said this, "And you will be hated by all for My name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." Hated by all. Now this hatred can be anything from, you know, what we experience here in America, you know, ridicule, mocking, being slandered, being cursed, rejected, to what believers in other parts of the world are experiencing, and I think we're all familiar with that. Being forced underground, having their churches burned, their pastors jailed, and Christians being murdered. And we can see it happening in our world. Why? Why is it happening? Why is it happening in the Middle East to Christians? Why is it happening to Christians in Mexico? Why? Are they harming others? No. It's simply because they are believers in Jesus Christ. And they're hated by the world. Why? Because the world hates Jesus. They hated Him then, they hate Him now, and they will hate us because of it. Now, we're not there yet. Yet. We are relatively safe. I don't expect the doors to burst open this morning. And gunfire. Or someone burning this building down. We're not there yet. But there are some examples of where this country is headed. In Colorado, a pastor had been advertising for his church on the benches at the metro bus stops, you know, offensive messages such as "Jesus is Lord" and "Experience Jesus" or "Celebrate Jesus." He was told recently that the metro would, it's Colorado Springs. Huge number of Christian ministries are in Colorado Springs. He was told that he would no longer allowed to put those on the benches because if they let him, they would have to also allow other ads that were considered hate speech. You see what's happening? Jesus is Lord. Experience Jesus. Celebrate Jesus. Considered hate speech. School students, we've all heard of being suspended for wearing a t-shirt that has the name of Jesus on it. Being told that that was hate speech. Just the name of Jesus. And of course, there's the double standard with using the name of Jesus when our, well, I'd like to say the current vice president of this country in an interview with the Wall Street Journal blasphemes the name of Jesus Christ. That's not considered hate speech. That's not even mentioned. You probably didn't even hear about it. In Florida, Florida Atlantic University, a student refused to participate in a professor's classroom exercise, so they were suspended. Well, what was the exercise? The students were told to write the name of Jesus on a piece of paper, throw it on the floor, and step on it. Now, what in the world did that have to do with anything, whatever his class was? And the student was suspended because they would not do that here in America. One conservative senator said this, "We are at the water's edge of the argument that mainstream Christian teaching is hate speech. Because today we've reached a point in our society where if you do not support same-sex marriage, for example, you are labeled a homophobe and a hater." He said the next step is to argue that the teachings of mainstream Christianity is hate speech. And he said that is a real and present danger, a senator. One presidential hopeful said this, "Too many women are denied access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth." I think we know what that means. "And laws don't count for much unless they're enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper." Now, this is on the opposite side. "Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will." Listen, "and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structured biases have to be changed." And this person considers that to be the unfinished business of the 21st century. Religious beliefs have to get changed by political will and law here in America. They hate Jesus and they hate you because you are his follower. Are you ready? Are you ready for this to happen? Will you stand fast? Will you endure until the end? That all sounds ugly, doesn't it? It all sounds like bad news. We don't like to think about that, but it's coming. Jesus said it was coming. We could see it coming. Are you ready? Amen. Will you endure? Jesus said, "He who endures to the end will be saved." Amen. Matthew, now, you know, sounds like bad news, but as it is with Jesus, hallelujah, as it is with serving the Lord, sounds like bad news, but there's good news in it. Unbelievable. Matthew chapter 5, 11 to 12, Jesus said this, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice."
Amen.
What? "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Exceedingly glad? So we should say, bring it on!
Amen.
My reward's in heaven. You're just stacking it up for me. Bring it on. Wow, can we say that? Walking the walk of faith includes persecution, trouble, suffering, and sorrow, but it also includes, hallelujah, rejoicing. Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say,
rejoice."
Rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice when?
Always.
When?
Always.
When things are going good.
Always.
Only when you get a raise or you get a new grandbaby or only when you're happy.
Always.
No. Always. What does always mean? At all times and under any circumstances. Yeah, right, Paul. That's easy for you to say, buddy. You don't know my struggles. You don't know my life. You don't know the stress and the pressure that I'm under. You don't know my sorrow. You don't know my pain. You don't know my problems. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? Well, Paul did. Listen to this. "I am more so, I exceed them. This is the Amplified. With far more labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten, times without number, and often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent adrift in the sea. Many times on journeys and exposed to danger from rivers, danger from bandits, dangers from my own countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, danger among those posing as believers. In labor and hardship, often unable to sleep, in hunger and thirst, and often driven to fasting for lack of food, in cold and exposure, without adequate clothing. Besides those external things, there's the daily, inescapable pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel his weakness? Who is made to sin, and I am not on fire with sorrow and concern? And he's the one who wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times, under any circumstances." And when did he write this? From prison. It wasn't like some of the prisons we have today. Maddie? That's Maine State Prison. I don't want to go to jail, but that doesn't look too bad to me. Now, that is exceptional. Not every prison is like that, all right? Or if you're wealthy, you hear about all these wealthy people, movie stars going to jail. Go ahead to the next one, Maddie. If you're wealthy, you can go to this jail in L.A. with their pay-to-stay program and get a nice cell that's more like a hotel room to do your time. That's real. It's like $143 a night. And you can stay in basically a hotel away from the general population, right? Now, I don't ever want to go to prison. Anybody? Anybody want to go to prison? But if I do, I want it to be in Germany. That's a prison cell. Or Switzerland. You know, if they're all booked up. That's a prison cell. Yeah. Now, the next photo is one. It's supposed to be like one of the prisons that held Peter or Paul. Big difference, right? Right? Big difference. But yet, even bigger is the description from a writer at the time who says this: it was a dark, damp, and foreboding subterranean structure. It is described as about 12 feet deep into the ground. Its appearance is disgusting and vile by reason of the filth, the darkness, and the stench. It was into this room, about 6.5 feet high, 30 feet long, and 22 feet wide, that prisoners who had been condemned to die either by strangulation or starvation were thrown. And that's where we get our phrase, cast into prison. They were thrown down a hole. It wasn't like those prisons in Germany. So how can you rejoice? How can you rejoice, Paul, when you're someplace like that? It doesn't make any sense, does it? To rejoice under those circumstances. Has anyone here experienced anything like the list that Paul wrote? That I read to you? I don't know about you, but it makes my troubles pale in comparison.
Amen.
But it's still not easy to rejoice when things are bad, is it? Let's be honest. It's not easy. We have to endure. We have to endure through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Acts 16, we read about Paul and Silas beaten with rods. Their clothes torn. It wasn't some light tap. They were beaten. And you read, Paul said how many times he received 39 lashes minus one. I don't know if you remember the flog that I made. You know, this wasn't a slap on the cheek. And Paul and Silas were beaten and bleeding. In that story, in that account, the first thing the jailer did was clean their wounds. Because they would be in filth in those prisons, and that filth would get into their wounds and they'd get infections. So here they are, beaten. For what? Preaching Jesus. They weren't hurting anybody, didn't kill anybody, didn't rob anybody. They did no one any harm, but delivering the good news of Jesus Christ. And they were hated for it because they hated Jesus. They were beaten with rods, cast into prison, very much like a dungeon. Okay, not a jail cell, like we're used to seeing. It was very likely total darkness. Put yourself there. Bound in chains. The Amplified says they would bind him in chains in an agonizing position. And we're just sitting on the floor with some shackles on. And what were they doing? Praying and singing hymns. Wow. I don't know if I could do that. We all need to, though, don't we? Paul was able to rejoice in any circumstances. And you know what? We can rejoice in any circumstances. Let me have an amen. You know what? Why? Because we don't rejoice in circumstances. We rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
And that doesn't go away. Amen? That doesn't change. He's always there with us. He's always the same. He is. He is. Someone rejoice. So when we get into those bad times, when we get into rough circumstances, that's what we need to do. We need to think on who He is. We need to think on what He has done. We need to know that no matter what, He is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
We can have joy no matter what we're going through. Why? Because we know that He will complete the work that He has begun in us.
Hallelujah.
So in the bad situation, we could look at that and say, you know what? Praise the Lord. He's faithful. We begin to think about Him. And what happens to our troubles? They don't look like much after that, do they? Still going through it. But He'll get us through it. And then when we look at the big picture, we realize and we know that everything is temporary in this life. Even our life here. The Bible says our life here is like a vapor of steam. It's there for a second and it vanishes. It's like the flower of the grass of the field standing and the sun burns it up. It's gone. This life is temporary. It doesn't matter what happens here. Eternity is what matters. Has He taken care of our eternity?
Amen.
Is there any doubt?
No.
Are you on shaky ground or are you on a solid foundation? And that's what we need to think on. Doesn't matter what happens in this life. You know, sometimes, you know, when we try to do this, when we try to in bad circumstances, we say, praise God anyway. That's all right, I guess. But you know what? I think we need to drop the anyway. Amen? And just say, praise God. Say, well, this may be going wrong. I may have this struggle, but praise God, I'm saved.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Praise God, my family is saved. Praise God, He's in control. Praise God, my eternity is in His hands. Praise God, man can't do anything to me. Praise God, no one can take that from me.
Lord.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. Just praise Him. Recount who He is, what He has done, and what He has promised to do. And if you remember last time, we talked about taking every thought into captivity. So we weren't thinking, oh, everything's bad. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is terrible. You know, everybody hates me. I can't pay my bill. No. We need to take that thought into captivity and focus on Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? Have you ever done it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. What's the song say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Bethy's not here. She would have burst into song right there and sung it for us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Say it with me. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth, the suffering, right? The pain will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to move.
Okay. Jesus, look full in His wonderful face.
Amen.
And the things
of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. So we're turning our eyes on Jesus and off of the problems. We're focusing on Him, focusing on the positive things, and those things of earth, the suffering, the pain, the bad things, grow strangely dim. Why strangely? Because it doesn't make any sense. Because we're still in the midst of our problem, but yet we can have peace through Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean we're just to stick our head in the sand and pretend that we don't have any problems? Hey, they preach it. They preach it. Now, I may make you mad here, but, you know, there's people, oh, don't say you're sick. I'm feeling great. Lie. It's true. The Bible doesn't tell us to not say that we're sick when we're sick. What does it tell us? It says when you're sick, call upon the elders of the church to pray for you. I've provided your healing. Not sit there, duh, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. I got money in the bank, my wallet's fat. When it's not, lies. They're encouraging lies. I'm sorry, if that upsets you, it's the truth. But we're not to stick our head in the sand and pretend that we don't have any problems, but we're to go through those problems with Him. And not focus on them, but focus on Jesus. Okay? We don't pretend we don't have problems. We've talked about this in Sunday school many times in the last few weeks. You know, David lamented in the Psalms. But you notice how they end. You know, here's one example. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? It's David crying out to God. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Singing the blues, right? How long, God? You're not here with me. That's the way he was feeling. But he ends up, he changes. He shifts gears here, so to speak. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully to me. So he's in the problem. He's lamenting. But, and he focuses on Jesus. He focuses on what God has done for him. He's feeling like the Lord has forgotten him, that his enemies are winning, his sorrow in his heart daily. But he ends up thinking on the positive things of God. Yeah, we were talking about Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a good example. And, you know, Pastor Lay always comes up, you know, and you say, hey, Pastor Lay, how you doing? What's he say? No complaints. Now, can you imagine if he said, how you doing? And he answered like Jeremiah, go ahead, ask me how I'm doing. Cursed is the day that I was born. Let not the day be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. Well, we don't want to be like that, do we? Have you ever felt like that? Come on. In reality, you can't control how you feel. But you can take that thought into captivity and you can control how you react and what you do with it. Amen?
Yes.
So in the midst of this, you know, cursed is the day I was born. Jeremiah says this, but the Lord is mighty with me. He is the awesome one. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the poor from the hands of the evildoers. Right in the middle of the way he was feeling. So what we do with it? Do you see the shift of focus? We must focus on the Lord. The Casting Crowns sang a song, and I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. Why? For you are who you are. No matter, right? No matter where I am. God doesn't change. Amen? He is always there. He's our solid foundation. How do we handle it? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. This is connected with the last point. We are to rejoice, but we're also not to worry. I'll just skip this one. If nobody here worries, right? I do. Where does worrying happen? Between the ears, right? In our mind. And these are the kind of thoughts that we have to take into captivity. Paul gives us further instructions. If you are worried, wring your hands, tell everyone you know repeatedly, think about it constantly, and most important, try to imagine the worst thing that could happen. Nah, that's not right, is it? course not. What are we to do? Let's look at Paul's real instructions. These are guaranteed. You got worry? Guaranteed cure for worry. This is no snake oil. This is no cure-all. This is guaranteed cure for worry. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I know there's people here that worry. I'm one of them. But there's a cure. Hallelujah. Second part of verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Prayer is our devotional prayer time. I hope you have one. Supplication is talking to God about specific needs. Requests are specific and definite requests. And with thanksgiving, thanking Him for who He is and what He has done. And knowing that He's there with you. Knowing that He's going to work it out. Amen?
Amen.
I don't thank God for doing specific things that He hasn't done yet. I know people that do that too. But I am not about to tell God how to do His work. I don't know anything. But just asking Him to answer my need in any way He sees fit. How many are thankful that at one point God didn't answer your prayer? Yeah. Amen? Okay, I want to hurry here. And another song. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Listen. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Verse 7 in Philippians 4, the results. And the peace of God. The results of taking everything to God in prayer. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There's the cure, guaranteed. Now, if your Bible has a footnote at the bottom that says your results may vary, or results not typical, you better take that Bible back to Dollar Tree and get a new one. It says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will.
Amen.
Will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. So walking the walk of faith means being focused. And who do we focus on? We focus on Jesus and all that He is. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. More practical how-to from Paul. To focus one's thought on. Meditate means to focus one's thought on, or to reflect, or to ponder over. Now, what's going to happen in the midst of our storm when we start to ponder on everything in Philippians 4:8? The good, the lovely, the good report. He is. What happens if we ponder on Him? What happens if we ponder on who He is? What He's done for us? Look back at the past. Look at how He saved you. Look at how He has provided for you in the past. Start to focus on that and praise Him. Amen?
Amen.
Your mind cannot focus on bad and good at the same time. Right? So we focus on Him. Focus on the good. And again, you choose to take the troubles. You can't stop the troublesome thoughts from coming in. But you choose what you do with them.
Amen.
You choose to take them into captivity and replace them with what? True, noble, just, pure, lovely, things that are good report, virtuous and praiseworthy, and meditate on these things. There's your prescription. Guaranteed to work.
Amen.
Moving on to verse 9, Philippians 4:9. The things, listen, the things which you have learned and received and saw in me, these do. And the peace of God will be with you. These do. Endure. Pray. Be anxious for nothing. Give thanks. Focus on the Lord. Thank Him. Praise Him. Follow Him. In other words, walk the walk of faith.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we want to thank You for Your Word. We want to thank You, Lord, that we can apply it into our lives, that we can follow You, that You will provide for us, You will deliver us, You will give us peace that passes understanding. We need to put it all in Your hands, Lord. And I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, that this would become our life, that we would walk the walk of faith, trusting in You, focusing on You at all times. Lord, lead us to have those times of prayer. Lead us to meditate on Your Word and on Your goodness and the true and the faithful and the noble. Lord, cause us to do this, to turn to You, so those things of earth will fade away in Your glory and grace. We thank You again, Lord, for Your Word. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.